Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. If this is your first Geekscape, strap yourselves in for some pop culture talk. Movies, video games, comic books, TV, pop culture, all that stuff that is, What do I always say each week? And I don't even know where this came from. All the pop culture talk you can fit under the hood. I don't know if you're listening to this driving to work. I hope there's nothing under your hood except what needs to be there. I hope the pop culture talk is simply coming out of your speakers. If you're listening to this at work, well, get back to work. No, just kidding. Don't get back to work. Listen to Geekscape. I want to pause real quick and just say I appreciate you listening to me. You've got lots of options for what to do with your entertainment. Even if it's passive, even if you're doing something else right now, you've got Geekscape coming through yours. And I want to say how much I appreciate that. It's a lot of fun. And we had a lot of downloads last week, which I'm super happy about, even though we've been doing this since 2006. It still makes me so happy to be getting a text or be getting a comment or a DM or something from you guys saying how much you appreciate the episodes or how we've turned you on to a brand new band or a brand new actor or a brand new TV show or movie or comic book. I love spending your hard-earned dollars on superfluous entertainment. It's great. Just do what I do and just buy a ton of comics each week and then be like, why don't I have more money? Well, maybe because you walked into the comic book store and you ate with your eyes, Jonathan. It's all good. It's all good. This week's going to be a hard one, though. We got that Spider-Man 2 game coming out. Yep. I saw our good friend Yuri Lowenthal on Sunday night. There's a writer, Derek Hughes. We should have him on the show. He's a really good writer. He put together this party and Geekscape mainstays like Phil Lamar and Yuri showed up. And I just told Yuri, I don't have a PS5, guys. Big shock right there. I don't have a PS5 yet. it looks like I'm about to buy a several hundred dollar Spider-Man 2 game because I got to buy that PS5 to play it. I know you guys are like, oh, you can play it on the PS4. No, enough of that. All right. I want to play it on the PS5. Same thing with God of War Ragnarok. Like, I totally want to play God of War Ragnarok. And I load screens, this, that. Sooner or later, you got to grow up a little. And that means getting to the next system. I pushed off this generation of PlayStation long enough. That being said, there's another game on this week that's going to take my attention because that damn Mario is back with Mario Wonder, which I call Super Mario LSD because it looks weird. So there's a lot of stuff vying for our attention this week, and we're going to talk about maybe some of it here on Brand New Geekscape. My friend Joseph H. Johnson Jr. is on the show. He's hilarious. He's a comedian I saw last April, and I was like, this dude is spitting all this pop culture stuff in his stand-up set. I have got to get him on Geekscape. And sure enough, his social media handles are Black Nito and stuff like that. So he's a big X-Men fan, clearly. And so I had to get him on Geekscape. And I'm not going to delay anymore. Let's get Geekscape going. Let's bring Joseph in here and let's have you fall in love with him as much as I've fallen in love with him. All right, you guys are already commenting on the whole PS4 versus PS5 thing. I think Christopher Robinson, he's had some trouble with his ID over here in the comments, but I think Facebook user, I'm just going to assume it's Chris Robinson. He says PS4, more like PS Snore. Yeah, I know. I needed to upgrade that thing when Miles Morales came out, and I was like, no, I can get away with this. I can get away with this. And then the voice of Peter Parker himself, who I think does some mocap, Yuri Lowenthal, came in on Sunday to this party, and I was like, all right, fine. And luckily enough, my buddy Herschel does some work for Insomniac, and Insomniac got bought by Sony, so I can get an employee discount, I think, on the system. Or Herschel can, and I can reimburse him, and it'll be maybe $100-$150 cheaper for the PS5. Update to come on that stuff. Also, New York Comic Con happened this past weekend. Lots of news coming out of that. I have not kept up with it, so if you guys want to talk about it, you got to throw that in the chat. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch. We'll talk about whatever you guys want to strike pending. You know, Joe is an actor. He's coming up. He's an actor. And we really cannot talk too much about some of the stuff going on in the strike. I will say, though, that I did go out to the picket lines on Friday and saw some people there. But let's get Joe in here. Let's talk to him. Black Needle himself. How are you, Joe?
Hey, doing well. That intro is amazing, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
I had so much nostalgia coming through. I was like, Dreamcast? What?
This show is so damn old that that stuff was new when we started it up. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. I didn't mean to bust you out like that.
No, I joke about it, but if I started podcasting in 2005 and this show started in 2006, the Dreamcast had died. What? Let's put the Dreamcast death.
That's true.
Rattle at like 2002. 2003. The Dreamcast and Sega realizing that they're only going to be a publisher and make like Plinko machines, like that stuff only really happened a few years before Geekscape. So it's crazy that's
so crazy to me, because like honestly, when I got my Dreamcast, it had already been like dead, I guess, because I was burning, my homie was burning games for everybody. Yeah. That's illegal.
No, well, listen, I think the statute of limitations on a dead system, I think it's really like...
That's true.
They're not making any new ones. They're not like, oh my God, exactly. We can't sell through these Sonic games fast enough. Because
but it's people like me, that's my fault. It's my fault.
It's not. No, it is absolutely not, Joseph. It's Sega's fault. And
that's true.
For those of you, we've talked about it a lot on the show, Console Wars, our friend Blake Harris's book. Blake is working on a book on Larry David now. He did a book on Facebook acquiring, or Meta, or whatever it is, acquiring Oculus. But his first book with Console Wars is required reading for you if you're a video game fan, because it's about Sega versus Nintendo in 1991-92 and how the launch of Sonic, Sega of America, beat back Nintendo, who had the majority of market share in Sega and the whole Sega! And Sega does what Nintendo don't. That whole aggressive ad campaign built around Sonic in the US beat Nintendo back to 50% of the market share. And Sega was in the game with that Genesis. And Sega Japan just never was. And they ran things. And cut to E3, I'm going to say 1994, 95. Wow. What's the one in Vegas? CGC or CDS or whatever it is. They were going to launch the Sega PlayStation, and Sony was ready for it, and Sony was excited for it.
I heard about this. Yeah,
and Sega said, "I think we're going to stick to cartridges because we can't." And then they dipped on Sony, and Sony didn't know until the egg was on their face. And Sony's like, fine, we'll do it ourselves. We're the ones with the CD technology. We're the tech company. You guys are the software company.
Right.
And it was a big mistake. Sega then does the Saturn. They tried a million things to just keep the Genesis alive, 32X, Sega CD, or all that stuff. And then Dreamcast was too little too late. That's the adaptation of CD drives. It was insane. Like Dreamcast, Sega was late to the party.
I will say honestly, that was one of my first consoles, and as a fighting game head, that was perfect. It was perfect. You had
Virtual Fighter,
Mark of the Wolves. You had Marvel's Capcom, Soul Calibur. Power Stone. I mean, you had some of the classics. that just like, I mean, I grew up on these things and I'm like, yo, where are these titles at now? I mean, you can't even find anybody good at Marvel's Capcom anymore. I mean,
what's crazy is now we've got, I was on a plane with somebody and he had the, what's the Steam Deck? He had the Steam Deck. You know, the portable Steam machine.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're
it's talking all about. Dream. I mean, this guy was just playing Dreamcast games. And I pull out my Switch and I'm playing a Switch next to this guy who's playing Steam Deck. And we became friends on Instagram. And just,
nice,
you know,
of course, like you do. You know,
when you sit next to a nerd on the plane and you have a conversation about video games for an hour and a half, like it's just going to happen. And, he kept professing the Steam Deck. Okay, great. Like, I'm all for the Steam Deck. I'd love to clear out that Steam library that I purchased in the Steam sales, but never actually played. And I get it, but he's only using it to play Dreamcast games. Like, the dude was bass fishing for the entire flight. Wow. And I'm like, hey, man, I hear you. I get that you think it's a dominant piece of technology. It probably is. It's probably like way more impressive than a Switch. But yeah. You're using it to just play Dreamcast games.
I know. At that point, just get an emulator, dog. Just get an emulator. That's it.
I think a lot of the Steam stuff is emulator based, but again, you guys, you Geekscapists know better than I do. Jim Pellegrinelli over there in New York says, Console Wars sounds like an awesome read. Jim, I'm telling you straight up, you would love it. If you want something on the PC gaming side in the 90s, check out Masters of Doom about id Software and that whole John Romero stuff. Like, oh no, I got you, Jim. You were telling me, Jim and I went to school together. He was DMing me about how great Masters of Doom is, about when Doom showed up and John Romero and id Software and all that stuff. And funny enough, John Romero was one of the first proponents of Oculus, who, you know, it was another Blake Harris book. So it's crazy. All this stuff seems interconnected. Jim's also telling me the Invincible Season 2 trailer dropped in New York. So I mean, dude, New York Comic Con, I've not been in a few years. The one piece of news I heard is that somebody crapped the floor waiting for an autograph. Did you hear about that?
No. Why would you just tell somebody to hold your piece in line? It's like, yo, dog, I'll Venmo you. I just got to go to the bathroom.
Okay, so the internet sleuths went to work on this thing because I saw this picture of like real creamy feces.
Whose autograph were they trying to get?
I don't know. But in the autograph area, Geekscapists, New York Comic Con, the big news coming out of Saturday was somebody had, you know, not been able to hold it if you can't hold it, it's not coming out solid. Let's just be clear about all of that. That's just history. That's just me being.
They had some chili burgers and some dogs, and it ain't working out.
Hey, listen, it's not really meat in New York, okay?
Well, at
it's
that
not
point, meat, yeah, traditional exactly. Meat. Let's be real.
they were like, hey, maybe I'll get this hot dog on the way to the convention center. It's like, okay, that hot dog was a rat about 5 minutes earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
You just ate the damn thing.
They found it, and they were like, ooh, this is still alive. Let's get it.
Okay. So I see this picture and it starts going around my friend's group and I'm like, okay, hold on. This doesn't actually look human. It looked like nacho cheese. Like it looked like Joe, this splatter looked fluorescent orange. It looked orange.
So what you're telling me is there a Ninja Turtle now?
I'm going to look. I'm going to Google real quick at New York Comic Con.
Wow.
I'm gonna see here. Okay, nobody wants to share the picture. Let me see. I'm gonna put images. Geekscapists, hang tight real quick. You may not want to be watching this on Facebook, YouTube, or
that's
Twitch.
That's crazy.
So I can pull up this picture. Okay, the picture I think has mainly been scrubbed from the internet, but it definitely was getting passed around. And it looks,
it's probably still on Reddit.
It looked.
It's probably still.
Reddit's got a picture of a janitor, like cleaning it up. And so the problem is, if you search New York and poop, you find out like all these people getting assaulted on the subway from people like fighting with feces and shit.
of course, like they do.
It, you know, I showed it to a friend and they're like, why does it look like you got nachos at a 7-Eleven? Like, why does it look like that fluorescent yellow, orange cheese? I'm so not
who
thinking
buys
this
things from 7-Eleven.
I think
who
that
buys
this is
food, like hot food from 7-Eleven.
Oh, hot food? No, you're asking for a problem.
That's
you're asking for a problem.
Ridiculous.
That why, being like, said,
I thought that was a myth. Like you just walk in and you see everything turning on the conveyor belt, and you're like, "There's no way I'm going."
Oh,
to
I've had a Joe. I've had a hot dog from 7-Eleven. I've had chicken wings from 7-Eleven. That's where I draw the line. Wait, I think I've had a pizza slice from 7-Eleven. That's where I draw the line. When they start putting the seasonings on the thing, have you seen the ones that are like crusty? That they have crust on them, and I'm like,
it's just turning.
How long has that been there? How long has
there's no way your body is supposed to consume any of that, like at all.
Right, but if you're only on Earth for 80 years and maybe have a chance of becoming a supervillain or superhero, you're not going to get it by not hanging out in scientific experiments. Like
that's the closest you're right.
I've had the hot dogs. I've had the cheese. Uh-huh. Oh, there's a siren. That means Matt just added a brand new podcast to the network. We did just add a podcast to the network. We added a show this week that I'm really happy about. When I think I'll have them on the show. Geekscape is. What have you eaten at a 7-Eleven? And is a 7-Eleven any better or worse than a New York bodega? Bodegas are better because they can just make you.
Bodegas
like
are way better.
Yeah, bodegas are way better. Less corporate, maybe less preservatives. But that being said, I don't actually think this was a human that did this. I think this was a dog that was there with a medical service vest. Because this shit doesn't come out of humans, man. I don't know, man. I've seen this.
You never know, though. You never know.
I analyze a lot of human. But like at a park, when you see like an accident from a dog or something, like this looked more like.
You said it was fluorescent.
It was fluorescent.
This is like radioactive.
Yeah,
talking,
I think it was like they live. Like,
this so is this person still alive?
they definitely didn't stay at the scene of the crime, Joe.
You did say they scrubbed all the pictures, so they might have actually not be with us anymore.
It could have been the con that did it. That being said, I think. And I never think this fast. Like when you're like, you know, you ever do this when like there's an accident or something happens, you're like, oh, this is what I would have done. You never would have done that thing. We just don't think fast enough. I would have put on the glasses from They Live. As soon as I saw this neon shit
somebody. Before. I'm so sorry.
Okay. But you get the concept of it though, right, Joe? Where like Roddy Piper has these magic glasses and when he puts them on.
Roddy Piper was in it.
Hell yeah. And Keith David, the two legends. Oh,
I bet.
Joe, you got to see this movie because it's Keith.
Okay.
David.
You're like the third person this week to tell me I need to see this movie.
Oh, you'd love it. Joe, you'd love this fucking movie.
All right.
And
all right.
If only for like the 8-minute alley fight between Keith David and Roddy Piper. And the whole concept is like, you know, I love John Carpenter in the 80s. I think everybody loves John Carpenter in the 80s. And it opens up and they're just looking for work. Like Roddy Piper and Keith David are trying to get work. They're doing like construction or something. It's Reaganomics. Mm. It just clearly did not trickle down. It didn't trickle down to their asses at all. And they're sitting there. And Roddy Piper, I forget how he finds these sunglasses, but when he puts them on, he starts seeing people without their skin on who have like these blue musculature. And, you know, they look like a scientific anatomy dummy, right? They look like aliens, but they're wearing regular clothes. Except when you put the glasses on, you can tell who among us are aliens. And he starts trying to convince people. And finally, he tells Keith David, like, just stop. And he puts on the glasses on Keith David. And Keith David's like, holy shit, there's aliens among us. The other thing he can see with these glasses is the billboard say stuff like obey and and all the subliminal messages that they tell you through. I mean, this is such an 80s movie. It's so I don't mean 80s like just the style, but the messaging of it. Of consumerism. Mm. This is a movie about consumerism. Wow. And it's also the movie where he walks in and says, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum and I'm out of bubble gum. You got to see
that's what that's from. That's what that's
it's
from.
What it's from.
I thought that that quote was from Evil Dead.
No.
Because I still haven't seen that either.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
It's all good. Joe, we're not gatekeepers here at Geekscape.
No, not at all.
Educators, and I will, and I'm telling you that if I saw like squirt of this coloring I would like to think I would have the wherewithal to put on the glasses from They Live and start hunting for aliens in the New York Comic Con floor, because they clearly are there. This shit did not come out of a human being.
It's like Slimer status.
Yeah.
It's like green, yeah. Like green Slimer. Like, but so this motherfucker wasn't human. No. So we're gonna assume that this person wasn't real. And the reason why we can't find any pictures on it is because the government is trying to cover this shit up, because they fucked an assassin at New York Comic Con that was trying to get an autograph. And then all of a sudden, this motherfucker turns into jelly. So I'm going on big on conspiracy theorists right here. I'm not even a conspiracy theorist, but I'm just saying this, like what you just introduced was some other shit. So now I'm thinking like some Stranger Things shit was happening. And Damn. All right. Yeah. I'm about to go real Texas on y'all and get some shotguns. And
so the other thing that came out of, and I'm getting all this stuff DM'd to me from people over at near Comic Con. So my buddy is there, and he tells me that his friend got a photo session with Susan Sarandon. Of okay. Blue Beetle fame, but I mean, honestly, Susan Sarandon is super famous. But as far as geeks go, Rocky Horror Picture Show, right, and like movies like
right,
that.
Right. Like,
but most recently, she was in Blue Beetle, of course. But he's like, yeah, my friend paid $150 for the Susan Sarandon photo session
experience.
He was not allowed to stand within 6 feet of her or talk to her, and she would not look at him. So I'm sitting here looking at this photo. Let me see if I can pull this one up. I'm gonna put this guy on blast. It's in my messages.
Is it? Did they at least angle it so that it kind of looked like he was kind of next to her?
Let me see if I can just pull this.
Because that's cold.
No,
6 feet.
He's looking at her. She is 6 feet away.
Oh,
and this guy, and she is staring at the camera. Well,
they put that shit in a wide shot.
Yeah. I'm pulling this photo up. Okay, damn. Watch this.
It did my man dirty.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I'm putting this guy on blast, but this has to.
He paid for this. You need to know.
So, if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch, what I'm about to show you is this guy. I don't know this dude, but my friend DM. He's an animator and he does some amazing animations. DM Galloway is incredibly talented.
Damn, she said.
We've got Susan Sarandon and DM. DM is so awesome. And I asked him, I said, dude, did you actually see this like firsthand? You see it in the text, but you're not allowed. And guys, this is coming through 2 degrees of separation here. You're not allowed to stand near or like look at, you're not allowed to talk to her. And she's not going to look at you. But this individual, I'm being told it was $150 to meet Susan Sarandon at New York Comic Con. And you don't meet her. You stand in her aura. I think. And
she talked, aura, talked, is her aura yeah. is only 6 feet out?
I don't know, but I don't know. Aura. All I know is
if I'm going Dragon Ball Z status, that's a weak ass aura.
Do not give her a fucking high five. Do not look at her. I mean, this is like the Queen of England here. What's going on here? Like, I was like, are you kidding me? DM, I'm really sorry to put you on blast and your friend, but like, and I was like, DM, shit. Your friend, like, this is not. Okay, and like, again, keep in mind, again, I've only had this confirmed from one or two places, but at that point, I'm starting to think, oh, no. If she's at LA Comic Con, we will find out, because LA Comic Con is coming up early December.
It is.
You should come. I mean, that is, we'll put you on the Geekscape panel. What, you don't have a badge? I'll get you a badge.
I don't have a badge, so let's go.
This is, LA Comic Con is, Geekscape is, you know, we talk about them all the time on the show, because Geekscape helped our friend Stan Lee and our good friend Regina Carpinelli start the freaking con. I don't think you know this about me, Joe, but I was Stan's moderator.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yes, sir.
Me and Stan share a birthday. That's about it.
Well, he was incredible. And I proposed to my wife on the main stage of LA Comic Con in 2021. No. Geekscape, you were there. Giancarlo Esposito of Breaking Bad held the ring for me and was my wingman.
Okay. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Still together, right?
Yeah, we just had our anniversary on Saturday. Jim Paganelli is here. He says, Jim Paganelli says, I'll be the fourth person to chime in. See, They Live. It's still relevant today. Oh, and the fight scene is epic. Yeah, no, we're going to watch They Live. He also says, Sarandon has also been a recurring cast member in Rick and Morty since season 3. Oh, that's nice. That's cool.
Oh, really?
Okay. And
I just had a homie that just, homie MC Griffin, that just did art design for Rick and Morty. So shout out to the homie. He does all my shit for my tabletop show.
Okay, we got to talk about this tabletop show. That is a segue if I've ever heard. Now listen, Geekscapists. Our friend Joe has two tabletop shows. One is Magic the Gathering based. Okay, what are you seeing this emoji shit?
I got balloons. There's balloons. Geekscapists. Is it your birthday?
Okay, no. What happened is, and Geekscapists, tell me if you've, I mean, you're seeing that. You just saw that if you're watching
on YouTube. I just saw that.
On Facebook. I updated my operating system, which Joe has not. Joe has a laptop. He's on a Commodore 64. It took us a while to start the show up because Joe has a little,
like running.
We're going to start a GoFundMe for Joe's new laptop.
Please.
That
do.
Being said,
honestly,
I updated my operating system here on the Mac, and in all of my video, like conferencing, like whether it's Zoom or. I discovered this on Zoom with my therapist. Like if I watch this. If I put up one finger, I think, let's see if it works. I think I get balloons. Or if I go thumbs up. Let's see, thumbs up. Yay, I just got I got freaking fireworks. Okay, watch this. I'm going to give you one thumb up. It'll be a balloon with a thumb up, a thumb down, balloon with a thumbs down. And I don't know how I got balloons, but Matt Kelly and I had this happened in Google Meet. We were on Google Meet with a brand new show to add to the network. And I was like, bye guys. And I did jazz hands. And I think jazz hands did the balloons, but I'm in a meeting with my therapist and he's like, how are you doing? And I put a thumbs up and suddenly it's like, bloop, bloop, bloop. I'm in a fucking Pixar film. Right. And balloon, like, how are you doing? Let me tell you in balloons. I don't know how to turn it off. My therapist is like, how are things going with that very intensely personal thing that you were talking to me about in like that really intense situation? And I was like, here are some fucking balloons that seem to have come out they came out of my lap. Like, what is this? I was like, oh no. And they just happened on Geekscape. Joe, I didn't mean for the conversation to turn into this shit. I want to talk about your tabletop show. But suddenly.
You can't not talk about the fucking balloons.
Let's see what happens if I put a fake. I'm going to do this. I have my fingers as a gun to my head. Let's see what happens.
If we give
nothing. Skull and crossbones. Where are you at, Apple? Apple, you don't have that.
Skull and crossbones.
If I show my peen on the camera, am I going to get an eggplant? I don't know what's happening.
It probably just called 911 because it's trying to
keep it. Oh my God. Okay, so our good friend Joseph H. Johnson Jr. A new show. He has a new show, but I want to talk a little bit. Okay, there's multiple shows. One of the first shows that I want to talk about is this. This old one that it's not old, but Tabletop Jocks on YouTube. Geekscape, go look up Tabletop Jocks on YouTube. That's all Magic the Gathering.
It's Magic the Gathering, but also anything tabletop. So we have D&D, we have board games, we have any TTRPGs that you can think of that is there. So,
but your thing is Magic the Gathering. You love Magic the Gathering.
I love anything like nerdy in general. Like, I mean, I guess like give you a little bit of backstory. So growing up, I grew up in Flint, Michigan, and yes, the water is still fucked up. So that's a thing. But I wasn't look, when you black and nerdy, they don't really like our people. Like it's cool to be nerdy now, but our people don't give a fuck about that.
They don't bully you like I got bullied.
Oh no, they bully you, but it's even harder.
Oh, they bully you harder. They kick your ass like... Oh,
it's harder. Yeah. So like, I mean, I'm not saying I got shot at because I was a nerd, but I got shot at. But...
Well, I think just getting shot at is part of growing up black in Flint, Michigan. Isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's the rite of passage. And then you come and you tell everybody else about it and they're just like, oh shit. And I'm like, wait, y'all didn't grow up like that too? Oh, oh, this is different now. So, right. so you can't really be cool if you're a blurred. That's not really a thing. There's
Joe, are you a member of the blurreds here in LA?
I didn't know there was a thing.
Well, in my opening, I was just talking about my friend Derek Hughes, who had a part. He's a showrunner. He's written on TV shows. I think he's written on some of the CW shows. He had a party a week and a half ago where I saw Yuri and also our friend Phil Lamar. And Derek is black. And Derek is part of a group with people like him and several of our black friends. And they are a group literally called the Blurreds. And they get together. I'm not invited, but they get together as black nerds and they go out to like dinner or drink or hang out and they do black nerd stuff. If you come to LA Comic Con, I will introduce you to some of the Blurreds.
Eugene
Bird is a member of the Blurreds I think the Blurreds would love you.
I think I would get along just fine. I think we would have a lot to talk about.
It's other comedic actors and other writers like you.
Yeah. That would be splendid. So yeah,
okay, that's going to happen. We're going to put that on the docket. Okay, but continue. You were a blurred.
Yeah.
Growing up in Flint, Michigan.
Growing up in Flint, went to college, kind of like had that shit like tucked away, went to grad school and was like, fuck it. I'm just going to let the nerd flag fly.
Well, you're in California by that point and you're performing arts. Point, you're double, triple nerd at that point.
Yeah. At that point, I'm like, damn, I lost most of my street cred, even though I got like the only thing I got going is that I got shot at. They're just like, look, bruh, like you got nothing going on. Like you change addiction, you got like elevated speech, you do Shakespeare, and you fucking like comic books. Get your ass out of here. So
and when you got shot at, talk to me about how old were you when you got shot at? Well, not that it was a single time, but like,
the first time I got shot at was I was 11 years old. And it wasn't my fault. I was sitting on the porch.
You're going to take the blame for the other person?
Right? So here I don't know who's listening to this shit, but all right. So we're sitting on the porch and there's a car that rolls by. And that's one of those things where like when the car starts slowing down and then it stops and then it backs up a little bit, you're like, oh, I know what's about to happen. If you don't if you ain't from the hood, that means you about to get shot at, or somebody's looking at you to maybe try to shoot you. So we, you know, somebody, you know, the classic gun to the side.
Window comes down.
Window comes down. Some shots. I run my ass behind a tree. Everybody else runs their ass inside, and I kind of peek behind the tree, look a little bit over, and they're like, "Oh shit, that ain't him," and they keep it going. And so I potentially saved us because they realized I was the wrong person that they were shooting at.
Yeah, it was a different 11-year-old. Yeah,
it was a different 11-year-old. And so when that happened, we went and told the older kids in the neighborhood, and they were like, "Oh, what did the car look like? Oh, it looked like this. Oh, I know exactly who that is." And the next day, they were dead.
The people who rolled by, or the people that they were looking for?
The people who rolled by.
Yeah, they were like, "Oh, we know who came by the house. We're gonna don't worry, they won't trouble you again, young Joseph.
They won't trouble you again," and they were
gone. He told the right people, I guess. You told the right wrong people.
Right. But that's just street justice for you. So that was the first time. The second time I got shot at was when I was 16, and. You know when you talking to that girl that you shouldn't be talking to because you know she belonged to somebody else? That's
no.
What happened?
Girls didn't talk to me, and I think it saved me from a lot of pain.
Okay. Well, you just keep that up.
And you're about to get married, right? Like, you're engaged.
I am got married yet.
It's the best. It is the fucking best.
I can't wait. We just broke right now, so we can't do what we want to do, but
I made Heidi her anniversary gift. I made her a children's book that I wrote in 2019 when I wanted to ask her to marry me, but fucking pandemic. Yeah. And we weren't able to get married until last year. And I finally gave her the children's book that I commissioned the artwork for in 2019. Aww. And it's like, finally I got to give that to her on her 1 year anniversary, but have a nerd wedding. Like we had a never ending storybook. Well,
she's not really a nerd. She appreciates all the nerd stuff that I do. And she also like collaborates with me. So like she loves May the 4th because I love May the 4th, and we'll go to Scum and Villainy. We'll hang out. We'll show up at 6 o'clock in the morning. We'll watch Star Wars all day. She'll dress up like Rey. I'll dress up like Finn.
She puts up with you. She humors you.
Yeah.
You're abusive.
We're talking about. So back to
baby, look at me in the eye. Baby, is this what you want? Yeah, is this what you want? Is this really what you want? I mean, I guess. Yeah.
Look. We have a common denominator in fear, and we love scary movies, and we love like shit like that. So like
that, you gotta watch Evil Dead and They Live with her.
You know she hasn't seen any of the shit either. So yes,
it's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
You're 16 years old.
So 16 years old, I'm in a car with an older woman and
her. You shouldn't have been in the car with.
I shouldn't have been in the car with. Her gentleman rolls up.
Statutory rape or what?
I thought, well, come on. We ain't got to go there
yet. I mean, listen, you're 16. Yeah, you didn't quite know what you were doing.
I didn't know what I was doing. I was having a good time. I told my friends.
Joseph, you were a victim.
That's a different podcast, okay? That's for my therapist.
And then suddenly the fucking balloons pop out of your crotch like he did. Okay, sorry. I'm like, I'm scared to use my hands right now because I'm worried some shit.
I know, because it's something's going to pop out.
Yeah.
Like a dinosaur or some shit.
Okay. Regardless of flaws, you're in the backseat with this older woman.
This older woman. She's in the car. Her gentleman rolls up, which I think, no, not. You're prying. You do what my therapist does. You pry.
I'm a journalist. Right at the moment on a podcast, I'm a journalist.
So I think she's like, oh, that's my older brother. And I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. My naive ass. So we go in the house and he goes in and he gets his gun.
You're still in the car. And but you see him go in the house.
I see him go in the house and get his gun. Or he goes in the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he comes back out and he shoots in the air one time. And I'm like, oh.
Get you running.
And then all of a sudden the gears start to tick and I'm like, that ain't her brother. And I get out of the car and I just run as fast as I can down the street.
Were you clothed?
I'm zigzagging. Yeah, I'm clothed. Okay. We were just nothing went down that was too scandalous. But I was zigzagging down the street. I knew exactly what hood I was in. And I ran all the way the fuck home. I ran all the way home. It took me about an hour and a half. And I ran like I was getting chased by three rabid dogs.
They got to do a remake of they got to do a version of The Warriors where a guy's just hooking up with somebody's girlfriend or wife in the wrong neighborhood. And he's got to get home. And he just, it's like, you know, the Warriors where they have to get like across New York City where there's like rival gangs coming after him. And it's just a guy who is a bit of a, you know, that should be the basis for the Pepe Le Pew film. If Warner Brothers ever does a Pepe Le Pew film, that they should. I was thinking, honestly, like I heard a rumor years ago around the time that they were doing LeBron Space Jam that Pepe Le Pew got removed from the movie because he was problematic now, like, right? This is somebody who basically is not taking no for an answer. Like Pepe Le Pew does not know the words for no. I mean, it's not because he's French. It's because he's a creep. And and so I had heard that Pepe Le Pew had been slowly like moved out of the forefront, like of a Looney Tunes character as a character that didn't age well. That being said, and Matt Kelly, back me up when you listen to this, is a genius idea that just came to me. I think they should do a Warriors version of Pepe Le Pew where he just has to get back across Toonville or whatever the hell they live with all of the significant others of every woman that Pepe Le Pew had like tried to get with or had gotten with. And so you got like Wile E. Coyote coming out with like Acme shit. You know what I mean? And like Elmer Fudd. This guy's got a blunderbuss chasing him, you know, and Foghorn Leghorn's like, I do declare, I saw you in the hen house, and he's coming after him. You know, I think this is a legit. I think I got to call up Eric Bowser or something and try and
get this. It's a good pitch.
This is the pitch.
This is a pitch right here. This is a pitch right here.
We're not supposed to be doing this. You know what? The writer's strike got lifted. I'm allowed to do this.
The writer's strike did get lifted.
Writer's strike's over. I can pitch it. But as an actor, you cannot. I cannot solicit you as a role. But I think you'd be interested.
Once the strike ends, you can consider me for a thing.
Yes.
But when it comes out.
I think the Pepe Le Pew film as a meditation.
Not that one though.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I gotta be like, I don't know. Like, just don't have me be like Daffy or anything like that. Just like, I feel like that's.
We'll discuss when the time's right. I went down there. Yeah. I on Friday I did some morning writing and I did, and then by noon I was like, or not noon, but around 11, I was like, let me go see what's going on in the strike. And I go down to. Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers, where I've met a ton of, every time I go to a strike, I see friends of mine. I've been out here 20 years and my friend Charlie Bowden was there, and Charlie's he's one of the SAG leaders over there. And I guess people were like, hey man, your speech at Netflix was great yesterday. I only know Charlie because he's married to Paula Rhodes, who's been on Geekscape because she does voices and the Resident Evil games, and she does mocap and stuff, and she's been on Geekscape a few times. But Charlie was at my wedding. Paula was at the wedding, and I've been going to support the actors whenever I've got a free couple hours. I'm like, let me go grab a picket sign and go do this because I got to get back to work too. I got to get movies up, and I need actors for it, you know. And it's, I've always seen friends down there. It's great. Okay, so table. Let's see. The first one is Tabletop Jocks. It's a YouTube channel.
Tabletop Jocks.
Subscribe to that. I love that one. You guys had freaking Post Malone on that one.
Yes. Do you want to hear the story? How?
Yeah, you played Magic the Gathering with you guys.
This is crazy. So I met Posty April 2021.
Oh, you guys were there now? Posty? You call him Posty.
I call him Austin. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's how it all happened. So... Okay. So I walk into the store that I'm at. It's like a little nerd store or whatever. And I see him there with his bodyguards. I'm like, oh, shit. He actually does play Magic. That's kind of cool. And so he starts looking back. And I'm thinking he's waiting for somebody else to like walk in, like, you know, one of his other celebrity friends or whatever. And he looks back and he kind of looks like in my direction. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I kind of look around. I'm looking around. And he goes, oh, shit, Big Joe, what up? And I go,
what?
What? Like, my whole life is what the fuck is going on?
He's a megastar.
And I go up to him and I'm like, yo, what's good? What's good? He's like, bro, I'm a big fan. I'm like, I'm a big fan. He's like, bro, look, here's my number. Write it down. I'm Austin. And from then on out, I'm like, what the fuck? And so he starts texting people in our like circle. Yo, I just met Joe Johnson. Da, 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 this and this and this. And they texted me like, did you just run into Post Malone and he's now texting us saying he met you? Like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck is your life right now?
Yo, that's Joe. That's crazy. It's beautiful.
Insane. That's insane.
Incredible. But you see those videos of him like making time for fans. You see those videos of him like really being a legitimate person with his audience. And
yeah.
That counts for a lot. And here's this story where he knew you from your comedy world.
No, he knew me from a show that I had done. Command Zone did a thing called Game Nights, and I was on their show and he saw me on that.
Oh my God.
And he was just playing Magic. Like,
he just
like legit
consumes nerd stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we ended up hanging out that whole weekend. I flew to his place in Utah. We hung out there. We shot a commercial together. He came here, he shot on Tabletop Jocks. Like that's how I went to like multiple concerts of his. I just came back from San Diego like about a month and a half ago, went to a concert there. I literally had to work the next day. Yeah, he's from Texas.
Okay.
And then he moved LA and then he moved to Utah. because of reasons.
Is he really a Utah Jazz fan?
No, he is a Cowboys fan through and through.
Okay. Because I see him when he performed like in Salt Lake and he's wearing a Jazz jersey. And I was like, okay, cool. He's a Jazz fan, which is
you know, basketball, I don't know.
Okay.
I've seen him wear multiple jerseys, but I know he's a Cowboys fan, diehard. So that's how that went.
It's incredible. But yeah.
So there's been a lot of like people that I've run into since starting this kind of like weird journey of like content creating on the side. Cause I consider this, to me, this is a fun little side hustle. This is like, oh, yeah, I'll create some like, you know, magic content, some
but you're D&D a comedian. Content. But what do you think is the hustle hustle? The hustle hustle is comedian. Actor.
The hustle hustle is acting, comedy. Yeah. That's the hustle hustle. And that for me is like the thing that I put above everything else. The magic stuff is on the side. So I was like, I'll do that on the side. But I've met so many cool ass people in this space or just in the sphere of like nerddom and be, yo, you're like, and like DMing, like, hit me up. Yeah. Let's link up, like football players, hockey players, soccer players, baseball players, like all these like famous people, like people on SNL. Like what?
Do you know this guy,
insane.
Ronnie Ching, the comedian Ronnie Ching? Like sitting here completely not even like, I'm on another gig recording something, and Ronnie's just puts two and two together. You're Jonathan London, and I was like, yes. He's like, I listened to your pod. When he went to the Vancouver Film School, for whenever he went to the Vancouver Film School, long before he was a correspondent on Daily Show and in Shang-Chi and all that stuff, he listened to the podcast and was all religious, all about it. And I'm just like, what?
That's so dope.
We changed a couple emails, but like, my God, like,
I
just saw him in that road trippy Asian movie that had Baron Davis in it. Like, I thought that movie was hilarious.
The one that just
came out. It was the working title for that script was Joy Fuck Club. Though they didn't release it as that. I'm pulling this up on IMDb, but like, the movie I'm talking about is it came out over the summer, Geeks Gave Us, and you should have seen it. He's in Crazy Rich Asians, Joyride. Guys, Joyride is fucking hilarious. But the working title of it when it was going around Hollywood was Joy Fuck Club.
But it was spelled with a PH?
I don't know, but the script, they weren't going to release that in theaters, but I love Joyride.
That's true.
Joyride's hilarious.
That's okay. Amazing.
So Tabletop Jocks is that show. Yep. What's the one that you're doing that premieres this week with our friend Xander Genre? And thank God, Xander, that you made that preview TikTok. Or, you know, you guys may have a bunch of like YouTubes and stuff like that to preview on your Instagram. And Xander's been on the show as part of the Library Bards, but like, I was just going to call him Generate or Degenerate or something. Like, I don't know. Xander's like, I'm Xander Degenerate. And I was like, you meet people and you're like, hey, Joe. Like, you know, how often do you say people's last names?
Not often, unless they introduce themselves as their whole name. That's when I feel like you call them by their whole name because they introduce themselves by their whole name.
You're only going to introduce them, but that was years ago. I met Xander through Heidi years ago.
But he's not thing. Somebody like that is not going to introduce their whole name.
Of course. That's I think not, the first time happen. I heard his damn full name was today when I was like, what is the name of the show that is premiering this week with Joseph Johnson and our friend Xander Generate? Oh, I should probably look up his name. And then I look up Xander. It's called Table. By the way, Geekscape, it's called Tabletop News. And if you look for it on like Instagram and YouTube and stuff, you have to look for Watch Tabletop. If you watch Tabletop, it's a whole network of like news network of correspondence and stuff talking tabletop. That being said, Xander Genre. Like I think that's nice. And so you and Xander, a couple other people are doing Xander, this tabletop
deal. I did my first live action TTRPG with Xander. I know TT. Yeah, I think Xander was, it was me, Xander, Becca, Scott. Mm-hmm. Who Becca else was Scott. There?
Yeah, Ivan Norman.
Yeah, Trisha Hirschberger.
Hirschberger
is in there.
You're naming all the Geekscape hits on this one. You're checking all the Geekscape boxes.
I'm checking all the boxes.
Yeah, because Ivan and Rebecca had that show over at Geek and Sundry that we were all guests at. Like, we were guests on that Geek and Sundry show with Rebecca and Ivan and stuff.
Yeah, and then Alexander Ward. Mm-hmm. So those are all the homies that were on the first.
They've all, you've heard them all on Geekscape. Geekscape. Joe, you're late to the party.
It's like that. I know. I'm very, very late to the party.
You're late to the Geekscape party, at least. Yeah.
That has been my like legacy. Like, I've always been like late to the party as far as like nerd shit goes, because I never thought I could be cool enough to let that flag fly until I hit grad school, and I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna try something.
Yeah.
And let it out. And then during the pandemic, I was like, let me see if this works. And, you know,
it wasn't that recent. You were doing this before the pandemic. No. And if you were on the tabletop shows with Ivan and Becca, that was over at Geek & Sundry, right?
This is all recent. This is all recent.
Whoa, that's crazy.
This is all in like the last like couple of years.
That's why you've just come on the Geekscape radar. Cause those, I mean, Alex and those folks have been on panels.
I just met them like an hour ago. Or not an hour. I just met them like a year ago.
You've heard them on panels here on the feed, Geekscapist. Oh, yeah. You've heard every single one of those voices. Joseph is the final Infinity Stone we've just added to the gauntlet. You're literally, I mean, you're naming names that have been on Geekscape for years, and then it's like you just showed up. You just came out of the Spider-Verse. I was like, no, you're not supposed to exist in this universe. Welcome to the Geekscape, Joe.
Miles Morales whipped my way up in there, but
I just feel like sooner or later you were going to join Geekscape. I guess here you are. That's incredible. Matt Kelly's going to give you a show in about 2 hours. We're going to have another siren go past the window. And Matt's going to be like, "Hey, you want to do a tabletop show?" More balloons going to pop up. That's fantastic. And this thing, and I think the handle on a lot of socials is Watch Tabletop. This tabletop news thing. Is it like a daily show or weekend update type thing, but with is it funny? Is it because you're funny and I imagine you can't not be funny?
Yeah, no, it's definitely there's a lot of improv. Like we did all the I guess like pre-roll kind of like, hey, you know, promotional stuff for it. It was like a day of shooting. They shot an episode already. We're shooting another episode this Wednesday. And so I'm not like one of them. I'm not like the main host.
Sure.
But I'm one of the hosts on there. That's exactly what they wanted. Like I remember doing the audition and they were just like, just do you. And, you know, I'm not used to the teleprompter life.
Really?
I'm used to like learning my lines and coming in and doing the thing. And then I asked, like, hey, do you want me to improv? Can I improv? Because you never know. You don't want to offend the writer. You don't want to offend anyone who's, you know, behind the scenes doing the show. So you always ask. Yeah, exactly. So I actually remember. Okay, this is a segue.
Don't offend them. But I think the thing is, like, whenever I'm doing teleprompter, and it's tough. There's different types of teleprompter. Some people just set up the whole gimmick with the iPad and the phone pointed at the iPad, that kind of thing. That doesn't work. But, like, make sure if the font is right and the speed is right, like there's plenty of space to put in a little ad lib. It's preferable to be using it. For me, I can't memorize crap. Heidi, my wife Heidi has a play starting this weekend and it runs for a week. Oh, nice. And she had me running lines with her. And I was just like, it is a full play. She's one of five actors in this play. There's a ton of lines. Ron, who writes it, is such a, he's a wonderful writer, but it's very dialogue heavy. And I'm sitting here like, how the hell are you remembering all this crap? She's a brilliant at it. I need a teleprompter. 100% I need a teleprompter.
That's so crazy. I get thrown off by it.
Really?
I get thrown off by it. I don't know what to
do. You have to see through it. You have to get familiar enough with the script that you kind of, you aren't reading. Like if you look like a fucking typewriter, people can see it.
Yeah, no, like you have to, you kind of have to know what you're going to say beforehand and then kind of glance at it and like kind of get yourself back on track and then kind of just go with the flow. And then like
it almost has to live in some version of your peripheral vision. Like it almost has to live somewhere.
It's like, I see it over there. Like, I do a lot. I mean, they always have it in like commercial auditions. They always have it in the background. They always have like the, you know, the sides right there. So you never really have to learn the sides. So I think that's what made me feel more comfortable about it, because I got used to not being handed the sides. And for the last like 3 years, I guess, and since like 2019, all the commercial auditions I've been on have been like, hey, cool, show up. And they're like, give me my wardrobe. Like, and then you just have to like go in there and just have fun. And that's like my main goal is like, if I can give anybody any acting advice or anybody trying to break into this industry, like if you're not having fun doing this shit, stop. Just do something else, because it is a nightmare if you're trying to break into the fold and not having a good time, not having a fucking blast with yourself. Like, even if you fuck up, who cares? No one's gonna know but you. Fuck it. Yeah. Just have fun. It's so much fun to play, and I think that's my main like goal, is to like just show the world like, hey, this is how you play, this is how you have fun, this is how you're unapologetically yourself. I grew up in Flint, Michigan, obviously, you know, transcended past that, educated, all this shit, but I still have that inside me. I'm still that person. So, you know, that's, I guess, what makes me whole. And you can't run from it. You are who you are. You know what I mean?
If you do, you're setting yourself up for a lot of anguish.
Yeah. Or just a lot of therapy, which we all need. We all need.
There's no shame in it.
We all fucking need therapy. Everybody needs therapy.
The balloons make it better.
Even if you're happy. Balloons make it 10 times better. The thumbs up emoji. Will it happen?
I remember visiting my mom about a year ago. I go to Santa Fe. I'd just seen her at the wedding, and a year ago afterwards, one of the Geekscape produced films played at the Santa Fe Film Festival. I found myself back in Santa Fe, and we're walking the dogs every morning. My mom's getting up in age, she has these two dogs, and I'm helping her walk the dogs in the morning there in Santa Fe, and we're talking about my stepdad, and you know, he's a little grumpier than I am even. And
you're not grumpy.
I'm not that grumpy. I you get to know me, I get a little grumpy, but but she says, I'm sardonic. I'm not, sometimes I get mean, but and I think that it's fun. It's not fun. Sagittarius.
Astrological sign. Sagittarius. You're not grumpy.
I said, I think my guest Joe might cancel because he's having technical problems getting into the room, and if we have to cancel, like, you know, maybe we do this tomorrow. And she's like, do you want to come out to dinner? Because she's at dinner. She's like, do you want to join and get dinner? I was like, no, nah, I'll just be grumpy because I'm always grumpy. Not grumpy. No. Because, I mean, no, like I'm just always. That's my. I'm like the Incredible Hulk. Like my secret is I'm always grumpy, and Geekscape makes me happy.
I'm always grumpy.
Geekscape makes me happy, and like if I in running and so and like those are the things. Yeah. Like if I don't run or I don't do Geekscape to release the pressure, I'm absolutely miserable. Fair. And like ask Matt Kelly, ask the people I deal with the most. Like,
yeah,
it's like ooh, he's seen me too many times.
Because I literally have met you twice, three times now.
Yeah,
and you have been so happy.
Yeah, well, I think if you can make that. I think, you know, I'm a bit of a thespian myself.
Okay. Well, there we go.
It's like the Green Goblin standing on I'm Norman Osborn standing on the steps over there at Columbia University. Like, I'm a bit of a thespian myself. I'm a bit of a thespian to myself. Yeah. No, I've just done in front of the camera. Before I got old, I did a lot of hosting. Okay.
That's crazy. I don't believe you. I think you're
if they a need a sardonic
beacon of light.
Jerk. If they need a sardonic jerk who grew up playing D&D,
who would you relate yourself to in a D&D game? Like, what would you?
I always play a rogue. I usually play a rogue halfling. Yeah, because his rogue sneak attacks. Halfling. Sneak attacks. I like using some shadows, and I like having a little bit of magic to do things like mage hand with things like potential traps and opening doors and doing things like open. Yeah,
stealing a little shit. Bit of rogue.
Stealing stuff, but not a dick, not a jerk. Just somebody who's
I wouldn't peg you as chaotic.
Let me let the bigger characters, you know, suck.
Are you lawful?
Yeah.
You're lawful. Are you lawful good or lawful neutral?
Lawful neutral. Lawful
neutral. Okay, that makes more sense. Why you?
Because you're still playing a rogue. You're still playing a rogue, right? Like you're still playing a thief.
Right.
You're still playing
You can't be lawful good and play a rogue. Yeah. Or, I guess you can. Who do you have to have? Like, who do you think I play?
You play a mage.
Fuck yeah, I do.
Yeah. Joe, I got you. You're Magneto. You like touching, you like moving shit without touching it.
That's just fun.
You're like, wave my hands.
I play a high elf mage or wizard on most of my campaigns. I've just started to dabble into like melee characters. I'm having a blast though. Like,
really?
I built a.
Like a tank? You like playing like those HP suckers?
Yes.
I'm like hiding behind the fucking party. Characters.
I made this like little fucking kid. Okay, so like I don't know if you've ever seen Boondocks.
Yes. I met this guy Gary who acts in the Boondocks. I met him at the Blurred freaking party. I met him at Derek's party.
Yeah. So I based my character on Riley from the Boondocks, mm-hmm. and he was a human barbarian. And I would just have someone fling me into the crowd. And I would just start fucking raging.
That's a fastball special.
Oh yeah.
So why would if you're a barbarian, you're a small barbarian. I mean, what the hell is throwing a barbarian? That makes sense. I can understand my thief.
I was like my 70 halfling, pounds.
My halfling getting thrown. I totally understand getting thrown.
I mean, I was like 70 pounds. I was like a little fucking kid.
Oh, you're playing as a little kid barbarian. You're playing like that little kid in fucking Thunderdome. You remember that little kid in Thunderdome? Or Mad Max 2? Remember that little kid in Mad Max 2?
I've only seen the most recent one.
Yeah, yeah. In the Mel Gibson Mad Max movies. In the second
one. I'm sure the comments are going to roast me. They're like, get your ass.
Geekscape's been here for 18 years, and we have pretty much the person who does the roasting is usually me, and so we've built a community where we don't do that shit. And
that's okay.
I don't want those comments.
I at least need to be told, hey, go watch. Here's a laundry list of stuff.
You are going to get a laundry list, but you will not be told that you're any lesser of a nerd for not having already been that list.
That's great. I love that.
We don't do that shit here. And Matt and I are pretty staunch about it. Like, we don't like that shit. And we've had people come in, and my secret is just like hug those people a lot. They usually leave. They usually don't want to be here if you're super fucking nice to them. And
I feel like that's a lot of nerd culture. I feel like a lot of nerd culture has like they're kind of miserable, and so like they want to invoke that on you. So good on y'all for like hugging them out, because like. It's like disturbing sometimes. Like
Let me help you. What do you need?
Yeah. Like,
what do you need? I'm short circuiting. How am I thinking that you are my father? I've never had a father and suddenly you're here. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm like, oh, there it is. I do the same thing in my run clubs. Whenever somebody shows up and they're super fucking aggro and they're like, I'm going to, you know, and they want to race people or they want to go all fucking
cross. In run clubs?
They want to go fast and they want to go aggro and they want to go meathead and they want to go like crossfitty.
What's the point?
And I'm like,
what's the point of being in a club full of people?
I just hug them. I'm like, give me a hug.
I just want to know what's the point of joining a club. If you just want to beat everyone, then just go compete.
Just go join. I'm like, I'm sorry, but none of us are going to end up with medals for this thing. You know, it's like, I think.
Game first.
What is it they say about, I mean, Martin Luther King says about like the best way to get rid of darkness is light. But I think that applies to people who are like that, who it's like, if you're just intensely kind to them, they will show themselves. It makes them fucking uncomfortable. Yeah. They short circuit.
Because you can't. They can't. Like they're looking for someone to be as antagonistic as they are.
The confirmation bias.
And
then when you're
like, hey, and so you're
the world is mean. The world is fucked. The yep. world is against me because yeah. Jonathan is. It's yeah. like, what?
Yeah. Huh?
I gave you a home.
I mean, like, I guess I feel what you're saying. And like, it's hard for me sometimes because from my back, like, having my background and having people like make comments and make shit like that, like, it makes me go, you wouldn't say that shit to my face. So shut the fuck up.
Have you gotten that, Joe? And and guys, oh, again, if you're in LA, so Joe much. Has a show this Friday. Joe has a show this Friday at the 20th. If you're not
at the Comedy Store.
At the Comedy Store, if you're not coming to Heidi's. If you're not coming to Heidi's.
I don't do crowd work. So not yet, right. at least.
Okay.
I stick to my story. I only have 6 minutes.
So you only have 6 minutes now, or you only have 6 minutes?
I only have 6 minutes have, in my set. No, so I saw
you do at least 10, you liar.
I did 10. No, I only have 6 minutes this Friday.
I can't
fucking do crowd work. That's all I'm saying.
Comedy Store? Like, you said the Comedy Store, right?
Yeah.
And this isn't like a Vargas Mason room or something, is it?
This is a Vargas Mason.
Okay. I saw him at a party the other day.
A D's Nuts.
Yeah. It's
Vargas. D's Nuts production.
Vargas is the guy who does he like mail you those tickets and wants you to sell them?
No, that's not a thing.
Okay. It was like, this is back in Vargas. Apologies if you're watching. That was like 2008, 2009, something like that.
Oh shit!
I was like, how did Vargas like get my address? Like, how did this shit just show up in my fucking mailbox? And you look up and like Vargas is running away. You look up and like he's like tripping over a fucking hedge, running away. I'm like, Vargas Mason, get your ass back here. He's like, you better sell up tickets.
Sell them tickets.
Sell them tickets.
I had not thought
or seen. No offense, Vargas. Again, like I have not seen Vargas Mason from the because he does the bringer shows and there's a stigma about him. But
yeah.
But Vargas was always a nice enough guy to me. But like, I've not seen that guy in
he's been the nicest years. Person. Like,
I look yeah. up and I saw him at this red carpet event in June, July, and I was like,
"Yeah,
what the fuck?" I had to like look on my friends list from Facebook. That's how old I am. Like, I had to look on Facebook and be like, "Oh, yeah, that's Vargas Mason." I held the phone up to him. I was like,
"To just like, oh, that's like, confirmed,
Vargas Mason
confirmed."
Sorry. You're back on the D's Nuts, the Vargas Mason, this Friday, the 20th.
Which is insane. I started doing stand-up in January of this year. January 2nd is when I did my first open mic ever. Did it at the Hollywood Comedy over on Melrose. Melrose on like Cahuenga. Mm-hmm. And I remember my fiance wanting to, because she got let go from her job in December of last year.
She's an actress.
She was like, you know what? No, she
no?
was in tech.
Oh, wow.
And she had always like, I felt like she had always wanted to like do the thing. And I was like, well, she was like, yeah, why don't we just do stand up? And I'm like, fuck it, let's do stand up. Let's hit the ground running. And so she, looked up a bunch of like open mics in the area. We started doing open mics, and I ran into a friend, Shondalia, at an audition, and she hit me up, and she was like, hey, I'm doing a show. I'm starting, you know, to produce. Do you want to do a show? It's 10 minutes, story time. And I'm like, fuck yeah. So that was my first show in April. I asked her, like, hey, you know, I think my fiance is doing this too. You know, do you have any room on the show for her? She's like, no, not this time. But then she just hit her up. And she's doing a show in Ice House next week. So, I mean, for us just starting in January, we're fucking hitting the ground running.
You got the network going. And, yeah. you get in it pretty fast.
Yeah.
Love it.
Joe. It's like this TTRPG shit. It's like it's all these things kind of coming together. You're like, wait, what? Like you said, like I had known no one in the space. And then all of a sudden everyone was like, come be present. Come have fun. Like I had Matt Mercer on the show. Mm-hmm. I had Lexi on the show, Persephoroth on the show, Josephine. I'm sure you know all these people. And I'm like, I'm just meeting y'all and now I'm getting to work with y'all. And people are like, well, yeah, dude, that's what we do. And I'm like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you just gotta do the Kevin Costner, man. You gotta put it out there.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
And they'll come on. I mean, I appreciate you coming on Geekscape, dude, like, in just telling our stories, because that's all.
Appreciate you having me.
I've been wanting to have you on for a while, and I was like, you got this show starting up. Again, guys, this Tabletop News, and it's Watch Tabletop. I think there's a siren. I can hear a siren. I think Matt Kelly's just gave you a show. You have a show on the network now, and like, you don't even know you have a Geekscape show on the network now. You have a podcast now. Congrats on having a Geekscape podcast now. And I was like, Joe, this is the week that I have you on the show. It's like the when we talk about this Watch Tabletop and the Tabletop News stuff. And I appreciate it. Next week, I think I have like Wushu martial arts guys on the show.
Or
a musician. Like, I keep trying to find ways to fit the people who want to do Geekscape into do Geekscape. And if my schedule doesn't fuck it up, which it has, then, you know, I can't do two shows a week. Geekscape is, I'm just not doing, I can't do that right now. I love you guys.
Yeah.
But I just want to talk to people. I love talking to people, though. I got into this one, you know, I got it in through college radio. And then when I started doing filmmaking, I missed the college radio. So the podcasting started up. And I just love it. Geekscape is, I'm not even like top 10 on my own network anymore. Like, so many of the Geekscape shows, like Horror Movie Night and Weird Al, the Weird Algorithms, the Weird Al Yankovic themed show, and $2 Late Fee and all this stuff. Like, all those shows, I'm so proud of them. The boys over at Binge Town, and they do shows on all sorts of stuff. Like, that stuff is all doing so well. And I'm just so super freaking happy to have this little family that. Yeah. It's just, I mean, honestly, if you wanted to start a podcast, come do it over here at Geekscape, and you're part of the family. I love having you on the show, man.
I would love that.
My brother has a freaking podcast on here, and I've been asking him for years. Zach from $2 Late Fee starts talking wrestling, gets him in on it. And suddenly my brother, after I've asked him for years to do a wrestling themed podcast, my brother was a WWE wrestler, and now he's training wrestlers and things, but I've asked him for years to do a wrestling podcast.
That's so crazy.
And it took another podcaster on our network to get him to do a podcast about wrestling.
That's crazy.
The Territory Mark show, which I think they might do a live one at LA Comic Con, but I went to see our anniversary. Heidi and I's anniversary was this past weekend, and we went to the old venue, and what's really funny about the old venue, I'll tell the story real quick, is it was an old ranch from late 1800s, early 1900s. But the sun symbol, it's in West Hills. It's North Hills or whatever. It's over here by Northridge. Yeah. It's here. It's like a nice ranch.
It did the thing.
Yeah, it's still doing the bowls. Yeah, it's still doing the thing. So last year, we go to this ranch, and it's owned by the State Parks of Los Angeles. So we got a pretty good rate on it for the wedding. And but the ranch is old. And it's a historical area now. It's a park. And it has in wrought iron in several places, or in the keystones above the doors, it has in some of the tile work, a sun symbol. A Native American or several cultures have used this as a sun symbol in history, but it was famously turned into a symbol for hate by the Nazis. It's a swastika.
Oh no.
So I show up. So I told myself, so Heidi and I had to address this, right? And there's a sign when you come to this thing, like, what do we do about the fucking, like, it tells you this is an ancient sun symbol when the ranch was built to keep, you know, this wasn't changed to keep the, you know, prosperity of the historical building. And so this thing has a couple tiles around. I mean, I counted the fucking things. It's got 25 fucking swastikas around the damn thing. And so I told Heidi, I was like, I'm going to cover it with Pokemon. I'm going to cover it with pictures of Pokemon. What ended up happening is we covered it with Mexican flags because I'm Mexican, and we got the Mexican flags. And I showed up early, and Matt Kelly and some of my other groomsmen, like George Callert, my business partner here at Geekscape, my best man, Noam Dromi, we go around early before we get dressed, and we're putting Mexican flag, not Mexican flags, like the Mexican nationality flag, but like the paper flags, Geekscape is, we're covering the swastika with these paper flags, and it looks like an adornment. It looks normal. And the tape's coming off a little bit towards the end of the night, and some of these swastikas are revealing themselves. But It was hard work because you had to walk around with fucking ladders and climb up there and be. And we're going around the whole property looking for these 24, 25 swastika tiles and covering them with these paper flags. And as we're sitting outside of our dressing room, Casper Van Dien, whose wife Jenny was one of the bridesmaids, and Casper is one of the most amazing people I've met in my life. He's a brother. I talked to him yesterday, and we're sitting outside, and Jonathan goes, and he goes, "Jonathan, you missed one." And he points, and there's a fucking giant wrought iron to cover a window. It's glass from breaking, like, you know, like bars on a window, a wrought iron fucking swastika in iron over the window. I'm not going to cover that. Like, I would have to put it like a tablecloth over the damn thing. And he goes,
"Jesus."
He goes, "You did not see that coming." I'm like, "You son of a bitch." So on Saturday, we go to the property and hang out and just kind of walk it. We reminisce. Oh, it was a cheap. I mean, if you're looking to cut your budget, you guys can have your wedding there, and you just have to show up early and cover the damn swastikas.
And but, just cover them all
the sun symbols. I'm going to say sun symbols. But
sun symbols,
I took a picture on Saturday, and I sent it to him, and I was like, "God, it was one of the funniest. It was the wedding was amazing, and it was one of the best moments of the wedding. Was just laughing our fucking asses off at that crap. But we ended the night watching my brother do pro wrestling and wrestle, and it was Heidi's idea, Geekscape. If you saw it on my socials, Heidi was like, "You know, Paul has a show tonight, you know, here in LA." And I was like, "Yeah, but it's our anniversary." She's like, "Let's go see your brother. He's your brother." And I'm like, "Fuck yeah, cool."
We went to wrestling. And so, let's go.
Yeah. So let's get you on the train to
I'm down.
Podcasting and wedding on a budget. We built all of our budget, we built all our centerpieces. Heidi built all the centerpieces and everything, like just the ways to do it. We that got a taco amazing. Lady. $800 We got a taco lady. Come and do Mexican tacos.
So cool.
She's from Guadalajara. So cool. She and my mom became best friends. They're both from Guadalajara.
That's cool. That's beautiful. But
we can do this.
I'm down.
Okay.
I think you know it.
Geekscapist, I think we vetted Joe enough. We can let him go.
No, man. I had a good time. Thank you so much for having me. Let's go.
Hey, your socials. Black Nito?
Yeah, you can at me. So on Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, at Black Nito _. On Twitter, I mostly talk about my comedy and acting, which is not going on right now because we're on strike.
But stand up, your stand up is. Your stand up is.
You can stop and find that. I'm not posting that until the new year. I wanted to accumulate all of my stand up for this year.
No, and you then can't launch put the trash up there. You got to put the good stuff up. Yes.
Yeah, only good stuff, and then rebrand my YouTube so I can just have my stand up on that, on my personal.
It's a lot of work. And then,
I mean, that's what we do. We ball. and then for all my nerd stuff, follow Tabletop Jocks. Definitely check out the show. It's a fun show. We have a lot of people on there, but we're just having a good time. We don't give a fuck about the rules sometimes. We're just like, we missed that rule. Who cares? You know, a lot of fun people, a lot of great, awesome, exciting people on there. And we're going to keep it going.
Okay.
Cause fuck it.
Well, Geeks gave us LA Comic Con gave us every freaking panel we asked for, which we asked for a lot of panels. Let's find one to put Joe on. Let's get him to LA Comic Con. He can walk around, be a nerd, check things out. And so I think you'll hear back from him here on Geekscape sooner than later. The best place to hear them, you got to subscribe to the RSS feed. I have a couple guests coming up who are like, "I don't think I want to do the live video thing." So they might end up just being on audio. The best way to get those episodes, and along with all the panels at Comic-Con, the main stage panels I do, the panels in the panel rooms that we do, we got some great stuff coming up. You got to subscribe to the RSS feed. You got to subscribe to the audio podcast. Do it on Spotify. Do it on Apple Podcasts. However you listen to your podcast, subscribe to Geekscape, share it with your friends, all of that stuff. We got some good episodes coming up. We'll see what next episode is next week. We've got 2-3 options. I'm going to have to pick one. I'm going to have to break a heart and be like, "Hey, yes to you. Let's see if you can come back in a week or two." But things are getting crowded. And of course, we got the Loki 2 special once that season ends. If you guys are into that Star Wars stuff, we just did the Ahsoka special. That's in the feed. All right. Joe, thank you. Geekscape, you have your mission. Share this stuff. Leave the 5 stars, all that stuff you do for your podcast. Love you guys. We'll see you next week. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.